From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Let's start with a story. It was a dark and stormy night as Matt Frederick walked down to the parking deck. He heard a noise behind him. Footsteps? Or just the wind?
It's just the wind.
He continued walking. And the footsteps were the wind again. He turned and saw a figure rounding the corner. A familiar figure, perhaps. Matt ran to the side of the corner, poked his head around, to find nothing there.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name is Matt. And what was your name again?
I am Ben.
Okay, good, good.
Totally Ben Bolin, not possessed by any unearthly spirit of which I am aware. 100% humanish and really excited to talk about today's topic, which I think we'll be covering more specific cases of this in the future. But today we're just going to talk about ghosts. What is a ghost? Where can you find one? Why do so many people believe in them? Has there ever been any accepted proof, or is there any way that we could explain what is perceived as a ghostly phenomenon? Now, we do know that ghosts have been around since before the dawn of recorded history. Oh, wait, let me stop myself. Belief in ghosts has been around since that time, right?
And since stories have been written down, ghosts have been in those stories. Like the Epic of Gilgamesh, that was one of the first times that, or was the first time that a ghost was spoken about, or the spirit of the underworld, or essentially the afterlife. Mm-hmm. And it was, what was it? I don't know if I'm saying it right, but Enkidu, I think, is the name of the ghost that Gilgamesh talks to. It's kind of, I don't know, it's part of the underworld. It's fascinating. And just the idea that back in the day when stories were written down, and I don't even know that year, but 2000-something BCE, when it was written down, people were thinking about that, thinking about the underworld and what happens after you die.
Right, and we know that this is, some people will tell you that the question of an afterlife is the driving question of the human experience. You know, we've read a book called The Denial of Death. Let me save you some time because it's long. The thesis of this book is that everything human beings do, which is not survival oriented, is essentially a distraction from the inescapable truth that everybody will die at some point. It's called thanatology, the study of death. Think of like Thanos from the Avengers. And when we think about this, then we immediately encounter one of the more skeptical explanations for ghosts, right? And one of those skeptical explanations would be that people want to see ghosts, or we want to have evidence of an afterlife, that there's an enormous confirmation bias so that we do not have to address the idea of oblivion.
Yeah, it's a very comforting thought that somehow, in some way, whatever I am will continue to exist after I, at least my body, ceases to exist.
Once we shuffle from the mortal coil. And we know that this belief is still prevalent in the modern day, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, well, the best statistic that I have is from 2005, and it comes from the article How Do Ghosts Work? That's actually on HowStuffWorks.com. And it's a Gallup poll that stated, I think it was 32% of the respondents believe in ghosts, like straight up believe in ghosts. Mm-hmm. And then another 19% said, well, I'm not really sure. And then I think it was a 48% said, no, nah, man.
All right, so 48% are basically Jonathan Strickland.
Yeah. And I think, well, is it too early to ask where you would lie in there? Should we cover that later?
You know what? We can, I think it'll be nuanced. So let's get to those a little bit later, if that's okay.
Sure.
Because there are a couple things we can explore here. Those statistics are fascinating because that means that just a little bit less than a third of the people polled said, absolutely, yes, ghosts are real. You know, don't turn off the lights and say Bloody Mary, because, you know, you just don't know. Don't poke a ethereal hornet's nest.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's, oh man, I can definitely say I've been there in my life where I really truly believed in ghosts when I was a bit younger. I'm not going to talk about this right now.
No, it's okay.
Just trying to identify with someone who would say, yes, I believe in ghosts. And I wonder if it has anything to do with belief in spiritual afterlife, like religious belief.
Interesting. So what's the correlation, huh?
Yeah, I'd like to see those numbers, and I couldn't find a great poll that was comparing the two.
Yeah, it's very tough to find an accurate way of measuring this stuff because, you know, of course, somebody's spirituality, whether or not it's tied into their beliefs in ghost or paranormal phenomenon, that belief and that spiritual belief will always be a very personal thing. So it's tough to get an objective measurement of someone's subjective feelings. Even our ghost poll is just ranking the people who openly identified as yes, believing in ghosts or not. And we don't really know their motivations. We'd like to think their motivation was telling the truth, but I was thinking about this, Matt. It's completely possible that 19% of the people said, I don't know, just in case.
Yeah.
And then it's also possible that the people who said there were no ghosts were, you know, terrified that if they admit it,
somebody's going to look at this poll and they're going to know I believe in ghosts.
Right. Yeah. Or something like that. And we covered the afterlife and a couple of other, ghostly topics in our video series a while back, right?
Yeah, we did. We talked about ghosts and the law, I think was one of them. Mm-hmm. And, what was the other one? Ghosts.
We talked about ghosts and the law. We talked about whether or not there was an afterlife and various people who believe in life after death.
Yes.
And what happens to the brain at the moment of death. And
well, let's go a little wide.
Okay.
Wide here at the
cast
beginning.
Cast a wide net.
Yeah. Let's just talk about what happens. So, and then I say, let's talk about what happens for me to say if I experience something.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I think I saw a ghost.
Okay.
So this is really high level stuff. So bear with me here. But it's anything from shadows to cold to flickering lights, shapes and pictures like the orbs that you've heard about, I'm sure.
Sure.
Let's see. There's even sleep paralysis or something called hypagogic trance, which is really interesting to me. These are all the different ways you would experience a ghost, and several of them are easily explainable, but when you get down to it, a couple of these things are happening in your brain. Well, it's all happening in your brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it just comes down to your perception and the way your brain takes in stimuli.
Right, yeah. And another one we should mention before people start writing the emails is EVP. Or the voice phenomenon, right?
Yes.
And I think that's a great point, Matt, when we talk about the sensory information, how our brains interpret that. Because I have a proposition for the ghost stuff. We have a couple of options here, and I'm going to make three options, and I want to see if you think if these can cover our bases on the possibility of ghosts. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Number one, and the least exciting, it's all BS. There is no ghostly afterlife, or if there is an afterlife, there's no way that people are returning or leaving residue behind, and everything from Gilgamesh to now is wishful thinking or confirmation bias. That's one.
Okay.
And that would be the most skeptical. Second, there's the other idea, the other side of the spectrum. Ghosts are real. Ghosts are real. They're with us now because there is some sort of sensory barrier between the living and the dead. There are perception problems or something. But then in that idea, ghosts would most definitely be real, and we simply don't have the means for most people to encounter them. Third option. The third option is a little bit science fiction-y. Ready? It's the idea that ghosts, or what we perceive to be ghosts, may actually be symptomatic of another scientific phenomenon that we have yet to understand. And this would mean, for example, that maybe electromagnetic abnormalities in an environment trigger sensations, you know, so they trigger that sensation of maybe it's like nausea or your skin is tingling. You feel like someone just stepped over your grave in the future. Now, clearly, out of those three, my money would be on number three, because we do have proof that what has been perceived as a paranormal phenomenon before has been later found to be some sort of clearly explicable scientific phenomenon. Now, I don't think that makes this idea any less ghostly or any less important.
That's interesting, Ben. I wonder if there's another, like a fourth one.
Yeah.
Some kind of temporal distortion or time continuum problem that causes it to occur, which may fall into the third category, I suppose. But
yeah, that's great. And that third one is really broad. They're all broad categories because essentially you've got number one, no such thing. Number two, yes, straight out of a horror movie coming like for your eyes on the anniversary of their strangling or something. And the third one, we've got everything that could be, you know, science we don't understand. So these are broad categories. And I love that you mention the temporal distortion, because since we don't have any devices that have successfully defined or observed a non-corporeal entity, which is really what we're talking about, then we have to relegate ourselves at this point to a few philosophical things that are very important. And one of these things that I think is hugely important that often gets ignored when we talk about the possibility of ghosts. When I say we, I mean, you know, society at large. One thing we ignore consistently is that the nature of consciousness is still unexplained. Thousands of years, you know, we've had the smartest people in human history trying to figure out what makes something aware or self-aware, you know, and we've covered this, but one thing that's inherent to that idea, that inexplicable idea, is that the more we try to define and explore and sort of demarcate the boundaries of consciousness, the more difficult the problem becomes. We're, you know, I think we said in an earlier podcast, you and I talked about how we're still kind of in the dark ages, like future historians are going to look back and maybe laugh at us not being able to find the souls of the dead for so long.
Yeah.
But the idea of, for instance, quantum entanglement, right, became sort of pop sci. It was like popular science fiction. Mm-hmm. So people would throw it around in a very BuzzFeed way. I had deja vu because I have quantum entanglement somehow, or, you know, they would sort of misuse or gloss over the idea, but it still is possible that there are things that we have yet to adequately describe about consciousness, about the nature of time and space itself. So is it possible then, if we were to go back and just make this purely a thought exercise, would we say that when a person dies, a corpse is left behind, right? That's a physical residue of their existence, right? So when their brain stops firing electricity and the whole crazy train network that is the human mind finally stops, is there a non-physical residue left behind? I think it's a very interesting question, and I hate to sound like I'm hemming or hawing, but it's such an interesting question that it stops me from saying that something like a ghost doesn't exist, you know?
Yeah, it's a scary thought that there's nothing afterwards. And it's kind of the, I don't know, it's a weird thing because it becomes the crux of your belief in everything else, that one belief.
Yeah. All your eggs in one basket, huh?
Yeah. I don't know, it's hard for me. So, all right, well, I guess we're here then.
Yep.
So
we're at this point.
So you're in the I don't know category officially, if you had to if you had to respond to that poll?
If I had to respond to the poll, what I would say, man.
You don't get to say anything. You get to check one.
Choose one, huh? Yeah. Okay. Ooh, am I in that 32%, that 19 or the other? I think I'm going to have to go with the 19%. And I hate to do this, but there's just not enough evidence. There's not enough stuff that we can point to and replicate that proves the existence of an afterlife.
Yeah.
And I have some stories about it, and I know you do too. So I'll have to ask you, what do you think, Matt?
In 2002 and prior, I would have checked yes.
Mm-hmm.
From 2002 until about 2006, I would have said no. And then from 2006 onward, I would say, I don't know.
So your opinion of this matter has sort of evolved, huh?
It's linked fourth dimensionally, to myself.
Okay. Yeah. Go on. What happened?
It was, again, and it's strange, and I was only speaking earlier about the correlation between spiritual belief and belief in something like a ghost or an mm-hmm. afterlife, mm-hmm. because it's kind of how it went with me. Believed hardcore in the afterlife when I was a kid growing up. Mm-hmm. Then I completely threw it in the trash and decided I need to learn everything and I don't believe in any of this. And then I kind of got to a middle ground where once you start learning enough, you realize that there's so many complexities that who the heck am I to truly believe in something as hardcore as something as absolute as no, there is no such thing as this.
Yeah, it's absolutes are often tricky things for someone to juggle, right? Because mm-hmm. we very, very rarely live in absolutes in real life. One of the only absolutes, of course, being death, right? Okay, I'm going to stop hitting that one so hard. So let's take it in a different direction here. I'll tell you some of the same things. It's very interesting to me to know that your spiritual evolution, if you will, or philosophical evolution was so inextricably tied to this perception mm-hmm. Or belief or in ghost or not in ghost. When I was younger, when I was a younger tyke, I actually was an amateur ghost hunter. And you know these stories, right?
Yeah, so, I'm just letting it wash over everyone listening.
Right. You wouldn't expect it. Maybe you would. So I had all of the tools and my infrared sensors, my EMF detectors, I set up cameras and voice recorders and things like that and went to strange places, allegedly haunted schools, abandoned hospitals, bridges with a history of murder, the whole nine. And while I had some great times, I never personally stumbled on a ghost. Now, it would be, of course, cartoonishly arrogant to say, because I didn't find something a handful of times, it's not true. That's weird. By that logic, rhinoceroses are also BS, right? But what I did find was that some of the people I was working with wanted it to be real so much so that they would willfully mistake something for okay. something that it wasn't. But where my family comes from, there is a widespread traditional belief in ghosts that actually clashed with Christianity for a time. And
wow.
Well, you know, the idea in a lot of Christian canon is that when a soul dies, it is judged and it goes somewhere else, mm-hmm. right? Like the ghost of the departed rarely hang out to nudge your Ouija board. But,
I guess it depends on which, Protestant version mm-hmm. you ascribe yourself to.
Sure.
The Catholic Church has always interested me in that regard with mm-hmm. the idea of purgatory. Anyway, well, we can talk about that later.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Now you and I are dating ourselves because the idea of limbo or purgatory was slowly phased out. It's interesting. We should talk about that in a future episode too. One thing that always fascinated me was that some of the people I know who do believe in ghosts or who did at one time, drew a sharp line between what they would say were ghost, and demons or spirits. And the idea here, for anyone unfamiliar, is that a ghost is a human soul, right? But a demon or a spirit is from somewhere else. That idea is fascinating to me as well. I gotta tell you, there were a handful of experiences, none of which, oddly enough, were during my ghost hunting phase, that I have yet to explain or understand. One of them that sticks out in my mind was that I went to the Mark Twain House in Massachusetts. So at one point in this tour of this house, I was getting hit with waves of deja vu, which was a little bit strange for me at the time. And then I started to see these bright kind of yellowish orbs moving around the room and on the ceiling and stuff. I still haven't explained it. I don't think it was a ghost necessarily. I don't know what happened. Maybe I had some bad lobster rolls or something. But
have you considered reincarnation yet?
Have I considered reincarnation?
Perhaps you're remembering your past self.
Ah, that's a very interesting idea, because another angle to the ghost thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the idea that you are somehow encountering a piece of you from somewhere else, which I think is fantastic fodder for fiction.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, story, no, sorry. That's it. That's the story. I'm glad you didn't interrupt. You brought it to a graceful ending.
Okay.
It was about to peter out.
That's crazy, man.
Did you have any experiences that you could not explain?
I haven't had anything like that. I've been searching for an experience like that my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And I will put myself in positions where I think something might happen.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing yet. So we'll see.
And another thing that we should mention at this point is that we would love to hear your ghost stories. We want to know about the local legends of your area. We also want to know about your personal experiences. Write to us, tell us a ghost story, and it just might make it on the air.
Yeah, and tell us where you would fall on that poll.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely your stories. And if you want to check out this website that we stumbled upon while we were doing our research for this, it's really great. You can look at pictures and you basically get to vote. It's all about voting today.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to vote on whether or not you think the picture is real, faked, or you're not sure. It's called scienceofghosts.wordpress.com. And it's just pictures where you can basically look at the newest ghost pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are obviously fake. I'll just warn you right now.
Now, for everybody who hasn't already noticed this, Matt is our go-to guy for figuring out if a photo is faked often, because you have the professional ability to check out the photo itself and look at it with a much more educated eye than the average guy.
It is weird that I can say, yes, I can professionally check out your photos. The worst thing, the bad thing about this is that the technology and software is getting so powerful that it's becoming difficult to tell.
So you're saying it's easier to make a fake photograph that looks more genuine.
It is. So it's this weird thing. If you're trying to discern whether or not something is real, perhaps a UFO photograph or a video or a ghost, there's so many things you have to bring into it, not just what the image looks like and some of the standard things, like if you're looking at the, let's say, the compression or something like that.
Okay.
It's you can replicate that now. You can replicate it so easily. The distortion in a photograph.
Hmm.
It's pretty crazy, man.
There's another question that I want to ask the listeners, Matt, which is, if you believe in ghosts, then why do you think there's been no universally accepted proof of ghost or contact from the afterlife? And I think this is a very good question. It's one that we touched on in our video, part of our video series on ghosts, is the idea that there's such an anomaly here, because again, we cannot emphasize this enough. For the entirety of human history, people have believed in ghosts. For the entirety of human history, there has been no universally accepted proof. Well, that's not true. Since the dawn of the scientific age, there's been no universally accepted proof of an afterlife. I would be very excited to learn about this. And I would also, it's strange to think about it in such a high level situation, but if there were some universally accepted proof of ghostly activity, barring aliens, Matt, it would be the most significant innovation in the modern age.
Yeah.
Or discovery, rather, is probably a better word, huh?
Yeah. Cause it's already there. If it's there. I don't mean to ask you guys so many questions, but I was just thinking about my favorite ghost films of all time, because, you know, that's my other expertise. Uh-huh. And, man, I was really trying to nail down what my favorite one is, and I figured out what it is.
Don't say Ghost.
No.
Okay.
It's Guillermo del Toro's The Devil's Backbone. That's my favorite one. It's hands down my favorite ghost story.
Oh, that is an amazing one. Favorite ghost story, man. I don't know, Matt. That's a very good question. My favorite ghost story in general or film?
I would say film, but in my head, that's just a story on film.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to need some time to think that one over.
Okay. Well, how about you listening? What do you think? What's your all time favorite? You should let me know, because I don't know. I want to watch more ghost movies. I realize that I've only seen a handful, so.
And we may just read your recommendations on the air. As a matter of fact, it could well happen, man. We could have hundreds of people write in and all name the same film.
Yeah.
In which case, we might have to do a show just on that.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So we are going to head out. We hope that you have enjoyed our look at some of the high points in the debate around the afterlife and the essential dilemma of ghosts. So write in, tell us what you think about your favorite ghost films or paranormal experiences, and tell us if you think ghosts are real or not real and why. You can find Matt and I on Facebook and Twitter, where we are Conspiracy Stuff. Something tells me that for this episode, you may want to send us an email directly. Our address is
conspiracy@discovery.com.
For more on this topic and other unexplained phenomena, visit testtube.com/conspiracy stuff. You can also get in touch on Twitter at the handle @conspiracy stuff.